Staying with international politics, a tearful Vladimir Putin reclaimed the Kremlin in a resounding presidential election victory overnight. Standing before a sea of supporters, the former two-time president and prime minister told voters that they had triumphed over forces intent on destroying Russia's statehood and usurping power. Mr. Putin insists he won this election cleanly and honestly, but his opponents accuse him of fraud, including organising multiple voting. That's despite the presence of thousands of independent election observers. Graham Gill is a professor of government at the University of Sydney, who's been analysing Russian and Soviet politics for more than 30 years. His most recent trip to Russia was in June last year. I asked Professor Gill whether he thinks Mr. Putin can claim a legitimate victory.
Well, I think the election was free in the sense that there was no coercion widespread on people to participate or not to participate, but it clearly wasn't fair in the sense that the whole electoral landscape was tilted in Putin's favour right from the start. So the fact that there were four candidates who were seeking to oppose him, but none of them offered any real options that were going to be favourably taken up by the mass of the populace. What we don't know, of course, is the extent to which fraudulent behaviour takes place. If we look at the December elections, for example, there were very widespread claims that there was significant fraud. But if you look at the actual election results, the election results aren't all that far different from the public opinion polling leading into the election. Given that Putin took some steps to try to clean up the electoral process following on from the December elections, and given that we have this large number of election monitors there, we should get some sense of whether this was major or not major in terms of the scale.
Even if these numbers are decisive, and as you say, very much in Mr. Putin's favour, do the recent protests directed so vehemently against him personally make this a fragile victory for Mr. Putin?
Well, it's the largest figure that's been given for any of the anti-Putin protests is about 130,000 people. And that's 130,000 out of a population in the city of 9 million. So it's relatively small. And to argue that what we've got is sort of incipient revolution on the streets is to greatly overestimate the impact. The other thing is, of course, that there is at the moment a lack of a viable alternative. The four people that he stood against, two of them were seen potentially as being stooges of the Kremlin, and the other two are old-time politicians who have been around since the start of the post-Soviet period.
Mr. Putin insists he wasn't crying during his victory speech, but do you think there was a more emotional Putin there than we're used to?
Well, the reports seem to suggest that he was more emotional than we're used to. Perhaps we're going to see a new touchy-feely Mr. Putin, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
Why do you think he would have been more emotional, if indeed he was?
Well, I mean, I suspect that the lead-up to this election has been very different from the lead-up to all of the other ones. There is no doubt that Putin saw the demonstrations that were taking place in Moscow as being directed against him in part, and therefore he may have been concerned that despite the polling that there could be a last-minute swing against him. So it may be that there was sort of a personal element to this as well.
To what extent do you think he was shaken by the size of these protests and indeed the personal vehemence against him when they first erupted last year?
He may have been shaken. I don't know whether it's the size of the protest, but there are a couple of things. One is that there was a new element in these protests, and this was from the middle class, the urban middle class in Moscow. And for Putin, this is the group which most will have had most to gain from the sorts of things that Putin has done. And so this may be seen by him as sort of a bit of a turning against him by his natural constituency. So clearly there is some sort of uncertainty there around these demonstrations. And the interesting thing is, and the most dangerous thing for Putin, is not so much the size of the demonstrations, but if the demonstrations are interpreted as meaning that political change is possible.
So you say that this is a danger for Putin. He's been in power either as president or prime minister since 2000. Do you think that he will wield power differently this time in response to that?
I think the semblance of it may be there. I'm not sure that the reality will change all that much. It's interesting if you look at what Putin says. I mean, Putin often talks about democracy, but he sees democracy in a way which is very different from the way in which we see it and many others see it. I mean, for him, democracy is the unity between the people and the state to achieve the state's and the people's aims. And he believes that that's what he's been doing. So, I mean, it is very possible that what he will do is that he will bring about some sort of changes to the margins of the political system, but I can't see him changing the basic structure of the way it works.
What's your prediction then? Will Mr. Putin serve the full 6 years of this presidency?
Well, I think he'll serve the full 6 years, I mean, unless anything catastrophic happens. I think if he steps down, it'll be a decision made by him in his own interests. It won't be a decision forced on him by people operating in the streets.
Professor Gill, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's Graeme Gill, Russian analyst and professor of government at the University of Sydney.